up, world? It's your boy, the kid, the one and only, the nonprofit sector connector. And I am back. Listen, you know what? My guest gets to some higher heights, but I'm all the way up in the attic. You know what I'm talking about, gang. Just below the roof of my house, two flights up from where I get the old coffee. I actually went around the block today. I went to Honey's Bistro and picked up a shaken espresso. And they know what they're doing with that shaken espresso. You know, just in case, you make sure it's got ice in it, because then you can get it into the body quicker. Got to get the caffeine in this body. Those of you who know me, sometimes people will say, you know, Tommy D, do you actually sleep? And I'll say, I close my eyes. I'm not sure the brain ever turns off, man, because it's always moving. I'm always moving. I got a lot to talk about. I mean, New York City Imagine Awards, the semifinalists were announced this week. Maybe we'll get into it if we got some time later today. But go to, let me get you that website, New York City Imagine Awards. The website is, I should know this one, NYCImagineAwards.org, NYCImagineAwards.org. Check it out. We got, the big event is October 28th at Gustavino's in New York City, right over by the 59th Street Bridge. What a cool place. I think we're getting really, really big. It's going to be the attendance is going to increase and probably get too big for that place soon. But I mean, what a cool place underneath the bridge and stuff like that. All right, lots of ideas in my head. I may get to that point where we announce the semifinalists, but if we don't get to that point, go check it out. There's still opportunities if you want to get involved with the New York City Imagine Awards. You can reach out to me, Tommy D, at philanthropyinfocus.com, P-H-O-C-U-S. You know that already. But send me something there. On the Instagram, TommyD.NYC. On Instagram, the Nonprofit Sector Connector. And my big mission, as you know, is about hashtag ending the stigma together. So ending the stigma together on the Instagram. All right, listen, let's get into it. Let's get after it. Let's get moving. Antonio Ferrara is in the attic, not exactly, but kind of in the attic, virtually in the attic with me. My brother, what's up, man? What's going on? How are you?
Good, Tommy. How are you, man? Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, man. I appreciate the kind words you had to say on the internet, on the interweb earlier this week. You know, it's just funny how things happen because, you know, I do a lot of this stuff. I mean, we're on our path now to 300 episodes of this program. Had a really cool feature in the Long Island Herald talking about, you know, kind of rounding that corner, 200 episodes. And we were connected. Somebody told you to reach out to me. And then you made a comment on something I had done on YouTube, one of the shows. And I got to be honest with you, gang, I'm doing my best to try to manage it all. But I saw, like, I went back and I saw this comment from you. And I don't get a whole lot of comments on YouTube, just being real. But like you had said, we should connect, we should reach out, this whole thing. And I think it was like late on a Thursday night. I saw that. And I don't know if I texted you or emailed you. We ended up talking. Couple days later, you had your big event down at the airport, which we're going to get into. But it's just funny, like, how, you know, boom, snip, snap, snap, like how fast things can move and stuff like that. And, you know, all the love that I was kind of seeing you put out there, just, you know, about the connection we have. And it's fast. We only know each other a couple months. But, you know, like, you know, they say, like, when you know, you know. And that's kind of how it is. And we got some cool things in common. And, listen, man, you're on the front lines doing great work. We got a lot of stories to tell today. Just to kind of put a quick pin in it, I mean, I was able to shoot out just kind of the tail end. I mean, the event was pretty much wrapped up, but on that Saturday when I got out to you that day. But we got to do a video. I got to meet Josh Mirsky, who's a colleague and friend of yours. And, you know, he's got the neurodiversity flag. And I know he's going to be mad at me because I screwed up the name of it. But it's like the neurodiversity. It's not the freedom flag. But
Strength
flag. Thank you. Yeah. Josh, I'm sorry. Neurodiversity strength flag. You know what? My little bit of neurodiversity, Josh, got in there with the ADHD, man. I don't get all the details sometimes. But all right, let's get into this, man, because you got a great story to tell. I imagine that for the next 40 or 50 years, we're going to be friends. We're going to do cool stuff together. And this is just the beginning, and we've done some cool stuff. We got some connections already going. So look, let's take it back, because aviation brat, like, that's what, like, kind of when I started to check you out and some of the stuff, you know, you call yourself like an aviation brat. So we're going to get into Aviators for Autism. We're going to get into, you know, the programming, what your mission is. But really what I always like to start with on this program is, Anthony, what's your story, brother? What, like, what is the deal? What's your background? You know, where you came from, and really why is aviation even important to you? How about we start there, bro?
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm trying to stay focused. I'm like, my ADD is bugging me right now because I brought one of my organization shirts to throw on, and I've been running around all day, and I'm sitting here looking at your Vanguard benefits, and I'm like, see, he's He understood the assignment. He knew how to get it out.
No, I love that song too. She understood the assignment. I like that song. But look, here we go. Talk about swag. I was at Operation Vest. I got to tell you about this. Operation Vest, Veterans Ending Suicide Together. My dad owns a Ralph's Italian ISIS in Huntington. My dad, for the last 4 years, has donated the ISIS. So I shot out to Gardner Park on Sunday morning and helped some folks scoop Italian ISIS. But, you know, I got to get some more swag like this. Shout out to Operation Vest. Stefan and Jenny Hespel are doing great work for the veterans. Gang, you know, I will tell you this, man. I'm not big. First of all, I was going to say I'm not big in the gym. I don't even go to the gym. I might wave on the way by. But, like, I'm not big on really any of this exercise stuff, but I got to get serious about it. But, Stefan, since you brought up the swag, Stefan has this thing where he does 22 plus one push-ups. Gang, it's tragic that our veterans are taking their lives at a rate of 22 a day. So they do 22 push-ups plus one for that veteran who I guess, how would you say, fortunately was unsuccessful in attempting to take their life. You know, I did the push-ups, and I don't usually do the push-ups because usually I'm recording like stuff, but I did the push-ups, and I felt like, maybe I'm like a little baby, but I felt like some pain in my chest the next morning and in my arms. And I was telling my son, my older son, who he and I battle because he thinks he's going to be like, he's in charge of this place. And he's not, especially when I beat him in basketball in the driveway again, to remind him who's still in charge. But I was like, dude, you know what? It was a good hurt though. Like I felt the pain and I was like, you know what? And I was talking to Stefan, you know, I saw him at the Warrior movie premiere, which I was the MC at the Suffolk. Shout out to Warrior Ranch Foundation. But like I did the push-ups and I was like, you know what, man? I got to do these push-ups every day because I got to feel that pain because that reminds me. So, Stefan, I hear you. I see you. I'm going to start doing the 22 plus one on a regular. I mean, for a slim guy like me, man, just those push-ups, I might bulk up real quick, right, Ant? I might just get like...
So with that, I'll just say one thing with that, and then I'll dive right into your question. You know, veterans are important to me. My brother, it'll be 5 years, July 8th, that my brother lost his battle with mental health and addiction post-deployment, right? So while he didn't die of suicide, he kind of did, right? Like, you know, he's making some life choices that led him down a kind of like a suicidal path, whether he overdosed or not, right? So I'm super passionate about that. You know, I do some work with veteran organizations, and I'm with you. Let's start doing 22 plus one every morning. Yo, send each other a check mark on our system. You know, don't just send me a check.
Yeah. No, but take checks and check marks. I dig that, man. Yeah. That's good. So, that's good, but that's accountability, right, man? Yeah. And I mean, like, that's the thing. And I know Stefan's been on this mission. I don't know how many days because I didn't ask him when I saw him last week, but he would claim when I would see him over the years, like, you know, Tommy, it's like 1,800 days I did this or whatever. So, Steph, if you listen and text me, I'll probably text him during the show because, you know, we got to do a lot of things at the same time. But I'll ask him how many days in a row. But, like, that's just the thing to promote because what it is builds awareness and you know, it builds a journey and a campaign and a commitment. So, first of all, you know, sending condolences to the loss of your brother. I mean, 5 years, I mean, feels like a blip, right?
His birthday was yesterday, so we were down at Calverton National, you know, the whole family visiting. Yeah. And it's a little surreal to see, right? Because, like, at one point in time, me and my brother weren't, like, on the best of terms because of his decisions, right? And he was, like, my hero for a long time. And there was a point in time where I'm like, I don't want my kids over the house if he's over there and things like that, right? And now he's gone. And, like, my youngest son never even got to meet him, right? So it's, like, there's lots of you know, lots of guilt, lots of mistakes that, you know, I harbor. And I think that's why I do the stuff that I do with the veteran organization to kind of pay tribute to my brother. But, 100%. You know, it's important, man. And I, you know, thank you for all you do for the veterans.
Oh, man, listen, I'm just trying. Listen, if I can build awareness and drive people to just kind of be, like I said, aware, but just to know what's up and what's going on. I mean, that's what I'm about is bringing that awareness. So let's switch. I mean, we can go in a lot of different directions, which we will, but like, talk about your family growing up and stuff like that. Your connection to aviation. I mean, it's forever, right?
Yeah. So that's where like the term aviation brat comes from. And some people in the industry, you know, may get that. And so my dad's been a pilot for American Airlines as long as I've been alive, pretty much. Right. And he's still flying for American. He's young. He's 60. I'm 40. Right. So he's been flying a long time, about 38 years at American. So I grew up an aviation brat in the sense that I was non-revving by myself as an unaccompanied minor at like 3 and 4 years old, you know, traveling to and from Texas, New York, spending time with my dad at the airport because he also had his own aircraft and my dad's an A&P and IA, right? So I've been surrounded by aviation my entire life. And actually, I've tried to stay out of aviation for a long time. And I'm never saying nothing bad about my father, but as a kid, when your dad's not around, as much as you love airplanes and stuff, you're like, man, do I want to, is this like the career that I want to go into, you know? So I had like a love-hate relationship until like my 20s when I kind of decided like, I know so much about this industry, even though I haven't been working in it. And like, this is, I feel like it was like my calling. So, I kind of got into this industry as like a quasi kind of entrepreneur as a kid in his 20s, cleaning, his own business, detailing airplanes and, and boats and stuff like that. And then, slowly got a job at a 135 on the ramp and just, progressed my career just, through my, my high level of knowledge. And, over the course of like 3 years, becoming a training manager on the ramp, writing procedures and training ramp guys on fueling and towing and all that. And then moving up into the corporate office here at Talon, where I'm the director of quality control and aircraft appearance. And, I oversee and manage a fleet of 35 aircraft. And we're talking about strategic sourcing and vendors and cabin attendants and pilot training, all different types of things. So, that's what my life is in aviation. And, I have a 10-year-old, a non-speaker on the spectrum with an apraxia diagnosis. And, if you would have asked me, I've used this line a couple times in the past week, but if you would ask me in like my 20s, like what I'd be doing at 40, like advocating for aviation and the autism spectrum was like not anywhere near the bingo card, right? Like I thought, who knew what I was going to be doing? Even when I had an autistic son, it like wasn't even like on my radar until a few years ago. And just through being at the airport, I mean, I don't have to tell you, you've been around a lot of this community. And the more you get around it, whether you have a kid or you're supporting, just supporting that community, it tends to make you a little less judgmental, a little more patient, a little more understanding, right? Like 5 years ago when I was at a grocery store and somebody behind the register is taking too long and they're slow, like it's like easy to be like, oh, I got stuff to do, like let's go. When now it's just like, I got nowhere to go. Like, I, 'cause who am I to like treat anybody differently than I'd expect my son to be treated, at his age. So, I think it, really just put into a lot of perspective for me. And then as I noticed, we travel a lot. My son travels everywhere. I'm like blessed. Like you wouldn't even know my son's autistic at the airport unless he's stemming, right? Like he waits online. He knows how to go through security. He's like a stud, my kid. I love him. It's like, obviously I'm his dad, but being at the airport, you really kind of like, I'm a people watcher and you see a lot of parents and people struggling. And I just felt like this, this compelling feeling that I just needed to like jump in and do something, right? And that's kind of where the idea for Aviators for Autism came, was just from more of a place of gratitude, Tommy. Like, I'm super blessed and grateful to have like what I have, and most families don't have that. And 87% of families on the, with a loved one on the spectrum don't plan family vacations. That probably means they're not flying, right? So, I mean, that's kind of what brought me here, right? It's just where God guided me.
Interesting, like how things happen in life, man. I mean, I want to get into, we might take a quick break, but when I want to get into when we come back, like what it looks like from the perspective of, why, what was that catalyst? I mean, you weren't doing this the whole time while your son was with us, right? But then you just were like, at this point, there was like a break point where you said, you know what, I got to lean in, I got to do this, right? So it wasn't his whole life, his son, that you've been involved with this kind of work. So I want to get into that a little bit when we come back. Just kind of like, and what you've learned from other families who have a child with different abilities, whether it be autism spectrum disorder, whatever, man. I'm so tired. I gotta be honest with you, man. I'm really done with neurotypical. I'm like done with it because I don't even think it's a thing. I really, I because like I used to mock this word normal. What the heck? I almost said a bad word on my show, which we don't do here. But like, what the heck is normal, man? There's like nothing. We're all on, I'm big on the mental health space. Like, we're
Me
all
too.
on this spectrum of mental health. We're all on a spectrum of neurodiversity. My opinion. Do I have any clinical? No, I don't. But I have 47 years of lived experience, and I know. And I'm raising four children with my wife. There are four children, but we're raising four children. And I'm learning every single day. In the conversations I'm in, whether it be CSE meetings for my own kids, or just as you say, my connection to the population. I'm just tired. I think there's like talk about ending the stigma, man. I think we all learn differently. We're all individuals. And look, straight up, yes, people have some different, really different, difficult things they're working through, 100%. But I guess I'm kind of just saying like, if we just meet everybody with love and compassion and be curious about where they're at in their situation, do I say we stop labeling? I don't know, man. I mean, labeling's not a good thing, man. You know what? This is stuff, gang. I share this with you. I'll deal with my therapist next week. We'll figure out what about this labeling thing or not. I'll see you, Sean. I'll see you on Monday. We'll figure
Well,
something out. You know what I'm saying?
it's like super nuanced, right? And it's this community's always split down the middle on like every topic, whether it's ABA or whether it's education, whether it's this or that, like it's or imagery, a puzzle piece, an infinity symbol, right? Like there's
Right.
always like this. There's always this kind of decisive line. And then even more recently, I don't want to get into anything political, but when RFK made the comments, which were probably not in the best taste. As a father of a non-speaker, I understand what he was trying to imply. Poor choice of words. Definitely
Yeah.
if you read that before you said it, like, man, you should have read it two or three more times, right? But stigmas,
Yeah.
when he says that and a bunch of parents come out, I'm not condemning them, right? I love and support them. When a bunch of parents come out and say, my kid's on the honor roll, he plays basketball, he drives, he does that, it's a
Right, right.
superpower. It also diminishes like parents like myself and others that are like, oh wow, I'm being heard. Like my kid is, I'm gonna be struggling. My son's a non-speaker and he's trying really hard to talk and do great things, right? But my son may need lifelong care his whole life, right? So it's like those stigmas, affect the entire community, like all across the board. And I think, even the community itself gets caught in some of those labeling scenarios
Percent.
And they're just advocating, right? That's why I won't blame them. Like their parents, their loved ones, and they're advocating for their lived experience, and that's important.
100%. I learned just coming through, to see you that Saturday morning, or Saturday, or part by the time I got there, it might have been afternoon. But just meeting your colleague Josh, who schooled me a little bit. Love you for it, Josh. But just schooled me a little bit on the representation and like the color blue. Like I had said, there was just recently, something here in Nassau County, and he told me the community is not about the color blue. I don't know, man. I'm learning, and I think, see, that's the thing about like how I feel is. I just keep trying to say, no matter what conversation I'm in, if I can go in curious, open-minded, and stop acting like and I'm talking to me, but I'm talking to you all too. But I'm saying, if I just go in this thing, go, I don't know. And that's how I try to be like in 99 out of 100 cases, I don't know. I hang with a lot of people who have all the answers, right? I don't think they're right. I think they think they have all the answers, right? But like, I'm just trying to be like, I don't know. I don't know. I want to hear both sides and then try to find a way where there's like some kind of communication that happens and we get to the best answer. I'm not real big on people who just know all the answers because I realize every single day how little I actually know and I'm just trying to be educated. You know what? Look, that might be, people might go, well, you know what? Tommy D, that's silly that you say you don't know anything. No, I'm trying to learn, man. And I think if we go into conversations and dialogues and be curious and try to grow from these things, I think we're better off. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what was that turning point for you where you said, you know what, there's something here. I got to lean into this. And then we'll talk programs and things like that. How's that sound?
Love it. Yeah.
All right. All right. This show is called Philanthropy and Focus. I'm called Tommy D. We'll be right back.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Nonprofits need connections to move in good directions. So cut through all the static. Join Tommy in his attic.
Cut through the static, baby. Here's the deal. It's so funny because that song, I wrote that song with my buddy Brendan Levy, Uncle Brendan Levy, lead singer of Damaged Goods. And we were at a docks here on Long Island. We got to see Damaged Goods play the other night. Shout out to Brendan. I love you, man. You guys rock and roll. And we did that song together. I always try to give this cute joke. They used to be called The Goods back in the day. And then they got to be old men, and now they call themselves Damaged Goods. And I always get a kick out of that. But they were rocking at docks Saturday night. So give him some love for that. You know, I want to go to the website, gang, aviatorsforautism.org, aviatorsforautism.org. You'll see the events and stuff. Let me ask you a question. On the escalator, is that you and your boys walking up there with the two gray hoodies?
Yeah, so that's Nicholas and Giorgio. It's with I'm behind them. That's my wife.
Going oh, that's your up wife in front them. Of them? Yeah, okay, got yeah. it. Yeah, I love that, man. Just that graphic because they're, you know, what a cool, like, seeing them do it. They're traveling. You're at the airport. You can see the train to the terminal, rental car counters. So, like, that is just a great graphic, like, doing it and kind of, like, air quotes, like, overcoming some of these challenges, you know, like, of just, like, what for some people. Let me tell you this straight up. I hate to fly. Like, I hate to fly. Like, because we're going down to South Carolina. One of my boys has a baseball tournament. So we're going down to South Carolina. And I'm like, by the time you get to the airport, you know, whatever, 2 hours early, I got to leave my house, like, super early, right? I figure I could drive down to South Carolina instead of getting on the plane. So I was like, I'm going to cruise. We'll have our own car. Long story short, we're going on a plane. I say I hate to fly because I feel like it's just inconvenient. It's just the whole thing is I got to wake up early. I got to get there early, you know, and then in the plane. And I am capable of getting on the plane and being comfortable and getting it happen, right? Somebody who might have some stimulation challenges, some extra stuff, and is just not comfortable, it's going to get even more and more complicated. Do you want to speak from a perspective? I said we don't not talk a lot about groups. So we'll talk about your individual experiences or some of the individual experiences of other folks you're connecting with. Like that, what prompted you to do this? Like, what were you learning? What were you seeing? And when I say I hate flying, I think it's really cool that we could have put a plane up in the air and get me somewhere really quick. That's fine. I guess I'm just being cranky about some of the extra stuff that it is, you know? All right, do I really have to take off my belt so my shorts fall off like I'm standing at JFK? That's
not if you have pre-check or clear. But
yeah, maybe I ought to get that. And then I can keep my belt on and my flip-flops, huh?
Yeah, and your shoes. Yep, and not take your tablets out of your backpack.
So, well, then there's a kind of a pitch for doing that with like that whole, what's it called, like TSA clear or like pre-check?
TSA pre-check and then clear is like a separate thing. Yeah, clears like some extra biometrics, eye scans and stuff, and you kind of cut the line. But I'm cool with just giving up what I give up for pre-check. I don't think I really need clear. I don't want to be scanning my eyes every time we travel. I travel a lot.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, you do travel a lot, yeah?
And I hate traveling too. I mean, I've been on planes my whole entire life, and there's probably nobody that doesn't enjoy flying as much as me. It's just because I know so much. Like, you know, I'm looking out at the wing, looking for loose panels or this.
Oh, dude, that's even worse.
Where's speed tape? What are these mechanics doing? I watch the guy fuel and make sure he doesn't ding the airplane. Oh, so I can see out the window.
Bro, you know? I couldn't even. Dude, if I had any knowledge, I would not. Like, you know, look for that would be worse. Because now this, oh, forget about it. That's it. I'd be driving. I would be grounded for life if I could tell, like, that might be wrong or that might be wrong. Oh.
Yeah. My biggest pet peeve is whenever the plane lands and everybody starts clapping.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's not over. If most accidents happen by airplanes hitting each other on the runway. So, like, you know, and on the ramp. So it's like, we're not clear yet. Clap when we get to the gate. And it was that guy's job. He gets paid $300,000. You better put this thing on the ground in one piece.
You know what? I remember growing up, like, and people would do that and clap at the end. I don't see that anymore on planes so much. And
every time I'm on a plane.
I was just on a plane
from Orlando to LaGuardia on Saturday, and like half the plane clapped when he landed. We were also circling for an hour because of weather at LaGuardia, so they were probably like stressed out. But
oh, dude, but that to me is like extra brutal. Like now I'm stuck up here just circling. Anyway, this show's not called Let's Listen to Tommy D Complain About Being in the First World and Being Able to Fly Places. Like that's not exactly what this show is about. So when was it when you, or like kind of what was it that you realized that I got to do something here, man, to help families.
Yeah, you know, I kind of referenced it a little bit before. I think like when you have a kid, you start becoming a little bit more observant and more aware and understanding. So, right, as we were traveling a lot, I was definitely like noticing things. And man, I mean, I'll just go ahead and kind of like give a credit. I feel like I want to give a lot of the credit to God on this one. You know, like I didn't, you know, really have much of a design for my life other than trying to be successful, right? Like I didn't really have like any, a whole lot of substance and value. It's like, I'm in aviation. I just want to be successful. I want to be able to provide for my family and not worry about my son, like when I'm gone. Right. But I mean, just through, I think a lot of prayer and just a lot of, you know, trying to figure out what I wanted to do. It's just, it kind of just came to me. And it's like, you've got a non-speaking autistic son. You've spent the last 15 years of your life like working in the aviation industry. You grew up in it. Like if there is any way to connect like the two most impactful things in my life, which is aviation and autism, this is how I'm going to do it. And like, who better to do it than me? Because, you know, the mission goes far beyond just providing families with the tools and the confidence they need to travel, Tommy. I mean, we've talked, you know, a big thing for me, and I think is as great as the empowering families to get on planes and fly and how that's going to, you know, just give them a better quality of life and let them as a family experience everything, right? So mom and Cindy are going to the cheerleading competition and dad staying home with Philip because, you know, they don't want to fly, right? Like the whole family should be experiencing that together, right? So as important as that is, I think the most impactful thing that we're going to do, and I think this is why I was put in this position to do this, is to create the awareness, break the barriers and the stigmas to create employment opportunities for the neurodiverse community in my industry. And I think that part of it just kind of, man, it like hit me like a sack of bricks, Tommy. Like I knew what I wanted to do about like exposing families and how I was going to create these environments and these events to bring families in. But I was like on LinkedIn one day, and you know, on LinkedIn, it just pops up all the time. Oh, jobs, jobs, jobs. And it's all aviation jobs. And it just like hit me. And I'm like, man, like aviation always has a workforce shortage. And, you know, a little stat that I learned from Spectrum Designs, 80% of individuals on the spectrum with a high school or college degree are unemployed or underemployed, right? And it just like hit me. I'm like, damn, like aviation needs workforce. And there's a whole community that's like eager and chomping at the bit for just an opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. To prove themselves and to contribute and have a meaningful career where they're not just some greeter somewhere, right? There's aviation. I liken aviation jobs to the spectrum, right? Like people hear aviation and they think mechanics, pilots, air traffic controllers, right? Like that's like the big thing. But there's 100 jobs that go from the ground floor to 40 FL, which is, you know, flight level 40, which is 40,000 feet, right? There's 100 jobs. There's, you know, ramp agents, there's gate agents, there's engineers, there's data analysts, there's accounting. There's so many jobs that we can identify for individuals on the spectrum, right? And I'm not talking about taking a non-speaker like my son and putting them at the check-in counter, right? We're talking about identifying whether it's average IQ individuals that are on the spectrum and have some different things where they can be put into some back office type roles where they can be highly analytical and focused and be at a desk, or whether they're, you know, high IQ, 160, 180 IQ people that lack some soft skills, like social skills that can develop the next rocket for SpaceX or something, right? Like there's so much there. And it's just about identifying the infrastructure jobs and then those individuals in the community and place them in there. And I think that's what's really, is really the big thing, right? Like my kids attend, there's so many kids out there that, and this isn't going away. And we need to figure out ways to utilize this community for one, our benefit as a world, right? And two, for their ability to have a better quality of life, and three, for them to contribute. Like there's so many people, you know, people look at Howard Hughes. He's one of the most influential people in aviation, was definitely a neurodivergent, whether he had just OCD and a bunch of other things. Like Howard Hughes was a neurodivergent and he was one of the richest men in the world at one time. Look at Elon Musk, right? Like, so there's no real barriers. The barriers are the stigmas, and we need to figure out how to break those down, go into the companies and educate them and say, hey, listen, perfect example. There's a company called Draken, Draken. And what Draken does is they do like tactical training in aviation and aircraft and different things. Well, in my research, I was introduced to Lauren Thatcher. Lauren Thatcher is the head of compliance for all of Draken EU. and she's ADHD autistic, right? And she's a freaking rock star.
Yeah.
And there, now they're like, oh wow, we've got this high level person in here. Like, do we have other people that are neurodiverse in our? And oh, we do. And now they're really seeing that the level of support that this community can bring to them from an office level or an idea level, a thinking level. So this is going to be the biggest thing for us, I think.
Yeah, man, I think it's just so great that we're at that point, you know, because I've always said, and especially shout out to Spirit of Huntington Arts Center. Yes, I'm on the board there. Yes, Lindy Lou Foundation supports the organization for many years. Yes, I absolutely love the Artworks program there. The Artworks program is when our individuals age out and then they can go to Spirit and learn how to do the entire Adobe suite of programs, I guess is the way I'll say it, since I don't know how to say it correctly, but the whole Adobe suite, and they learn to do digital design work, website design. They, in fact, shout out to Vanguard Benefits, since you brought it up before. Vanguard Benefits, our agency, if you want to check us out, Vanguard Benefits, YOU.com. But the neurodiverse team at Spirit of Huntington is our outsourced marketing team. They redid our mission, our vision, our value with our, we worked with them. They didn't come up with the whole thing, but yes, they are our partners. And every 2 weeks we meet with the team about projects that Vanguard Benefits is doing from a marketing, social media perspective. So I always complain and get up on my high horse and I had my soapbox up here somewhere in the attic. I can't find it. But if I had it, I would stand up on my soapbox and I'd say, it's not about ability. It's about access. It's about pouring into somebody, finding out what they really are good at. And I say this not to be self-deprecating, just to be real. I suck at like a whole bunch of things and I'm good at like four of them. And if I just stay in my flow and do the four that I'm really good at, even if it relates to our business, my two partners realize we got to let this guy just do what he does best and keep him in flow and then utilize other opportunities that, you know, candidly, I'm more focused on business development for our agency than ever before because my partners are like, go do that all freaking day and we'll support you in other ways. And I believe if we give people support in what they're doing and give them the access to opportunity, I really think, Anthony, it's not about ability. It's about access to opportunity. And if we keep pouring in, and you're talking about folks who lead organizations, you mentioned Elon, you mentioned Howard Hughes, you mentioned... There is so many. You said they had 100 different jobs from the ground to, how did you say the 40,000? What do you call it?
40 FL.
40 FL. So from the ground to 40 FL, there's hundreds of jobs. There's hundreds of jobs in so many different industries. When we come back, I want to understand why there are so many opportunities in. Why are there so many open opportunities in aviation? Why is there such a challenge already? Because when we hung out, you told me the field generally just doesn't have enough people. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from ability or neurodiverse, whatever. So let's go to break. We come back. I want to understand why do you think that is? And then we're going to talk more about the programs. You know, we're going to talk, I'll just drop this word on everybody. Fuselage. Fuselage. Mm-hmm. I wrote it down. It's like a teaser. We'll be right back to talk about that. Philanthropy and focus.
Hey, everybody. It's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Nonprofits need connections to move in good directions. So cut through all the static. Join Tommy in his attic.
That's right. Jeremy in the attic. All right, so listen, if you are in sort of listen-only mode Check out, go to Instagram, aviators underscore four, F-O-R, underscore autism. That's on the Instagram. But if you're watching as well, I'm actually showing that right now. So what's this thing right here with the superheroes that came out to visit at that last event?
Yeah, so we actually have another event this Saturday. We're doing with Lufthansa Airlines, their internal nonprofit they have called Help Alliance Americas. We're actually going to do another event this weekend, but this one in particular, this was like our first real like big community event, and we did it here at Talon Air, obviously where I work. And
yep,
you know, my good friend who's also the CEO of Talon Air is also a board member on the nonprofit, and has been really instrumental in helping, you know, me get everything started. You know, I'm just a regular guy, blue collar, that just decided, hey, I'm going to do something that usually millionaires do. I'm going to start a nonprofit and like do a bunch of, you know, free work for other people. Right. So I feel like without the support of people like James and other people, I wouldn't even be here. So I want to make sure that, you know, I share that because I'm eternally grateful. You know, James has always been great to me and a big supporter. And without him, I wouldn't be doing probably as well with this as I am right now. But that event was really just like an intro to aviation. We called it Aviation Adventure Day, and we had a bunch of families and individuals come in, and we just created like a, you know, kind of like a all-inclusive kind of introduction to aviation. We had my good friend Pete, who owns Long Island Aviators, which is a flight school. He's a retired detective, a great guy. He came over and brought one of his Cessnas over, so a piston aircraft, you know, four-seater, and he did meet a pilot and basically a walk through the airplane and told everybody what these parts are, how they work, let the kids sit inside and take photos. We had board the jet. So you see the aircraft there. We had everybody board the jet in groups, and we had cabin attendants who work in the private jet sector. So business aviation, they came in and they did a safety briefing with life vests and masks, and, you know, kind of just give the parents an idea like, hey, you're going to get on an airplane and this is kind of what the process is going to be. Right. And, you know, I don't want to dumb down is not the word. More sensory friendly, right? They're not going into a huge airport. They're coming here to a closed facility. We had a fuel truck come out. So we had somebody, a line guy, come out and explain the fuel truck to them and say, here, this is how we fuel up the airplane. So just a bunch of fun little activities for the family to kind of just get exposed to aviation. And it was a really great time. We had lots of great feedback from the community. A lot of the parents loved it. Some of the kids have never even been around plane. And I hear it all the time. My kids love airplanes, but they've never even been on one, you know? So that's what that event it was. And that's kind of, you know, what we're looking to do with a lot of this going forward. And what we have coming this weekend, Saturday, is with Lufthansa and Help Alliance Americas, is we're going to do a little something similar, but more geared towards the boarding process. So they're going to come in, they're going to check in, they're going to get a boarding pass, they're going to create a passport, they're going to go through security, and then they're going to board an aircraft, right? So this is like literally the airport experience that we're going to be doing here with them. So I'm really excited about that.
I think, you know, I was watching something on it. First of all, again, go to aviatorsforautism.org, and then you click on the events tab and you'll see the event. You know, this is tomorrow. So if you caught this sometime within the next 48 hours, then it already happened. But if you're listening live right now, you know, this is tomorrow, January. That's good, Tommy. This is June 14th, Saturday, June 14th in Farmingdale. Aviators for Autism and Help Alliance America is practice boarding. You know, listen, I was watching something this morning on I don't know where, Instagram or YouTube, and it was talking about, you know, my folks, the ADHD gang, right? You, me, that whole gang, right? And it was talking about like how some of us, like we need structure. We need like, I need structure for sure. I need to have like processes and structure to support where things are just not going to happen if I don't have a certain way of doing it. Didn't know that for 42 years, you know, figured it out. I thought I was just lazy.
Yeah, I can feel you. You know my story. I was diagnosed with ADD as a kid, was on Ritalin for like, you know, 10, 12 years, right? And then protested off in high school and thought I was just getting through life. Like none of that stuff affected me. And it wasn't until I started advocating and like really like peeling back the layers. It's like, no, you still got it. And all these things that you thought was just you, is because of this, right? The imaginary shelf, the different things that, you know, the shiny new toy syndrome. Like you could be totally focused on one idea and somebody pops in and goes, hey, what about this? And you're like, ooh, what's that? Shiny, new.
Yeah. Don't even, we won't even bring up what it's like to be married to one of us. That's a whole other situation.
Oh, I'm not trying to know. I feel for my wife. She's a saint.
Same, 100%. What I was really thinking, though, is like that whole process piece there, like having something, guardrails and stuff like that, or even like, you know, it's a perfect thing. Like that man or woman who's on the runway with the lights and stuff like that. They're like
the marshaller.
What are they called?
Marshaller.
A marshaller is like telling that pilot, like, this is the spot right here, right? Like, this is where you land. I could use a marshaller a lot of my life. Okay. But why I'm bringing it up is, you know, going tomorrow and going through that process of, okay, checking in and getting a boarding pass, that gives me context and it puts me in this paradigm of when I am doing this for real, I know what to expect. And I think a lot of us would like to know what to expect. And I know, again, raising my own four children and their four own differences and things like that, and we're trying to navigate through what that's like. If we have more, excuse me, if we have more context and those guardrails, I like to say, I think we're better off. So I want to get into this thing because you shared with me, Tommy D, I have this vision for this getting a fuselage, and what's that about, man? I mean, we didn't say we were going to talk about it, but I think I'd love to.
Yeah. No, let's talk about that, and then we'll talk to you a little bit more about how I'm going to create some jobs.
Yes.
In the industry, because it's something I haven't been able to share too much about, and you kind of know some of the stuff that's going on with me and my transition, and I think this could be a great opportunity to share some of that too. So my ADD just took me there. What was the main question?
Fuselage and jobs. There we go. Yeah.
So, and it's funny, the fuselage thing, I'm telling you, like, the power of prayer is like crazy. I want to make anybody vomit or anything. If it's not your thing, it's okay. I don't judge anybody for it, man, but manifestation and prayer work. So I had this idea of like, I want airplane fuselages. I used to own an aviation detailing company, right? Like, what's low hanging fruit for me to train people? I can create training for aircraft detailing, right? There's tons of flight schools all over the country that could use one or two individuals to keep the planes clean, right? Just nice, easy, solid, you know, I feel like low-hanging fruit that we could grow out. So I'm like, man, who does fuselage? So I'm like, oh, Fly Alliance, they do. They have a 145. They're an operator like Talon. They have a 145 just like we do, and they'll actually take older planes, strip them down, take the parts, sell the parts, and then usually scrap like the fuselage.
Give me some context. I had to ask you. I only hear about the fuselage tragically when a plane crashes. You hear about the fuselage, right?
Yeah.
So what exactly is that for people who don't know?
Yeah. So in our industry, we call it the tube. We call it the cabin, right? The fuselage is the long cylindrical piece that we all sit in, whether you're on an airliner or you're on a private jet, or if you're in a Cessna, right? The airplane's body is considered the fuselage, where we sit. Where most of the cables, electronics are usually in the fuselage.
So what's your vision for that? So if you get this fuselage, what do you see? How do you see breaking it down to its components?
Yeah.
It's like individual jobs. What are you thinking there? What can you learn?
Yeah. So, you know, I'll do this quick. I'll try and do it in 30 seconds. So I was like, oh, Fly Alliance does this. Who do I know there? Joe Santo. I'm going to reach out to Joe. Joe, get me in touch with Kevin. I want to get fuselages. I've got this plan for my nonprofit. Joe couldn't get in touch with him, even though, you know, Kevin's just busy. So he probably just didn't get back to him. Then I was like, who else do I know? Kevin Tasca. Chris is Kevin's partner. Chris, I need you to get a hold of Kevin. I want a fuselage from a nonprofit. He's like, all right, I'll try. The next week, Kevin walks into the building here at Talon Air.
He wasn't carrying a fuselage, was he?
No, no, right. But I cornered the dude and I walked right up to him in the hall. I'm like, hey, Kevin, it's a pleasure to meet you. I'm Anthony Ferrara. I've actually been trying to get in touch with you through like Joe and Chris. And he's like, why do I know your name? And I mentioned my sister. I'm like, my sister does airplane photography. She's worked for you. So long story short, I told him what I wanted to do. I manifested that crap, bro. Like I manifested the dude walking into my building. 100%. And I said, listen, this is my plan. I want to take airplane fuselages. I want to bring them to vocational training facilities. So think a winter center, think a facility like that, and say, hey, you've got this hotel room for Marriott or whatever. What do you think about putting an airplane fuselage in this building? And we create a training protocol and partner with flight schools and companies around here on Long Island that we will train and, you know, provide the proper skill set for a neurodiverse workforce on cleaning aircraft. And then they can kind of come into the industry and pick up a job like that, whether it's here at like a Long Island Aviators or a Talon, and, you know, kind of be an aircraft detailer.
What do you need for that? I mean, obviously that's your business. You did that detailing work. So now you need the fuselage. Do we have one? Is Kevin, if you're listening, thank you for the fuselage. Like, where are you at with that? Cause this gets to the sort of the.
Yeah. Kevin's like, when I'm ready, he's like, when you need one, you let me know. Right.
So you have access. Now you need a place to put the fuselage. Shout out to Chris Ponzio at the Winter Center for Autism. Saw Chris last week. We had an event where my friend.
He's great.
Yep. My friend Christine Fitzpatrick from League of Yes was getting an award, Suffolk County Hall of Fame. I met Chris Vaccaro. Chris Vaccaro is going to come on the show, you know, with the Suffolk County Sports Hall of Fame. Tommy D, focus. Yeah, that's funny. So here's the thing, like all these people. So what I heard you doing, you say manifest, and I love that word. I use it too. But you also, I heard you connecting. I heard you play network. I heard you say persistent follow up. How do I get to this guy? Well, I got to go through this guy or whatever. And then, so I think that is an incredible opportunity and program. Why, really quick before we go to break, why do you think in the industry there's not enough people taking jobs? That's what we started to go to before.
Yeah. So aviation's really specialized, and a lot of people, some of the jobs like mechanics, ATC, pilots, right? Obviously you've got to go through training and right? You've got to go get your pilot's license and spend tens of thousands of dollars. ATC, you've got to go through training and all these different things. So it's specialized. And then when we get into analytics or accounting and everything, a lot of people just think, oh, it's an aviation job. It's not, I don't know aviation. Like, what is it? Right. And there's a thing that I like to use. Like, people don't know, you can't be what you can't see. Right. So like, people just don't think it's obtainable, and aviation's constantly growing and growing and growing, and it's advancing. I mean, 100 years ago, they put an airplane on a slingshot and two brothers flew it 5 feet above the ground for like 30 feet. Right. And now we're flying nonstop 18 hours on like G700s. Right. So it's like, it moves very, very fast. And it's ever changing. So right now everybody's like drones, autonomous flight, vertical lift, eVTOL, electrical vertical lift, right? Like now we're in that world, right? Already in like 5 years, you know, we're going to be there, right? So it's always going, and aviation's very strict. And I think the key to the neurodiverse community is one of the biggest complaints in this industry from employers is employees not following procedures, standards, and workflow.
Okay.
Right. And if you give a neurodiverse person a workflow, a procedure, like that's the Bible, right? Like you just said, like, I need to know what I'm doing and I'm going to do it. Right. So if you tell an individual, like, this is what you're doing these hours of the day, this is what you're responsible for, and they're in an office and they're able to sit and focus and do these linear tasks, they're just going to bang them out, bang them out, bang them out. And then 6 hours later, they're like, hey, what else do I have to do? You know, is there anything left to do? Yeah. So that's like where my mind is like trying to connect it to. And it's really just about, it's just hard to fill it. There's not everybody's in aviation, you know, it's specialized.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll take a quick break, but I just want to mention, you know, so I'm very involved with Best Buddies, and there's a gentleman who I know named Zach Smith, and I just Googled him. He's a game statistician for the NFL, right? Zach is able to lock in and pick up all these stats from NFL games. And that is like a sweet spot where he's able to lock in and focus. Many people could never do that job. I'm one of those many people who could never do that job, right? But the point is, if we get into the spot where somebody's really successful and where they can lock in and follow certain things, and you mentioned procedures and stuff like that, super, super important and appropriate. We're going to get back. Take a quick break. We'll get back. We'll bring it home. And I want to ask you, what else you need? Who do you want to meet? How does the nonprofit sector connector and all the little nonprofit sector connectors that I've made up and created in the world? How do we all help you? How do we make those connections? We'll talk about that when we get back. The show's philanthropy in focus. Right back.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Ready to serve up success with a splash? Hi, I'm Bruce Kramer, a.k.a. the Corporate Cockroach.
I'm the Renaissance Woman, Angie Snowball.
And I'm your strategy doctor, Dr. Navtej Dasanjh, inviting you to serving up success with a splash.
Join us as we shake things up with real talk and real strategies centered around awareness, action, and accountability.
And yes, there really is a cocktail involved. Please join us and sip your way to success.
Serving up success with a splash, where wisdom meets happy hours. Cheers!
Cheers!
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Nonprofits need connections to move in good directions. So cut through all the static. Join Tommy in his attic.
All right, gang, we're not going to go through the New York City Imagine Awards today and all the semifinalists, but I want you to go to, and I'm sharing this on the screen, nycimagineawards.org. You'll be able to see that on your own, so check it out. Anthony, what do you need, man? How do we connect with you? How do we get further going? How do we get things going further for the organization, for the impact you're making, things like that, for aviators, for autism? How do we do that?
Yeah, no, awesome. Well, I definitely want to start by just sharing, because obviously we've talked a little bit about it, but I think this will maybe give a little insight onto maybe some of the help that we're going to be looking for over here in the next 12 months. And then I'll add some of the additional things that we're kind of working on as well. So yeah, I've been at Talonair 11 years. It's been a great opportunity for me. I've learned so much and been able to do and grow so many different things. But you know, next week I'm going to be going out on my own, running my own company.
First of all, let's go, baby. Listen, it's about taking chances and, you know, getting outside of your comfort zone. I talk about it all the time, but please continue
for that. So what we're going to be doing is aircraft charter sales and aircraft sales, right? So in our industry, some companies use what we call a flight desk, right? So Tommy D, you come up to me like, "Aunt, I need to go from Teterboro to Palm Beach. I got a $20,000 budget. What's available for me," right? Typically at that point, I would like go out and source it, reach out to operators. "Hey, can I get it? What do we got? What do we got here? Da, da, da," and then present them to you. But with the flight desk, my plan is to take the neurodiverse community, because the flight desk is a back office, non-forward facing role, right? So I don't want to put neurodiverse individuals in a high pressure, forward facing sales thing where they're dealing with millionaires, billionaires. And, you know, I'm not setting them up for success, right? So we're going to bring them into the back office, and I'm going to create the flight desk made out of strictly autistic and neurodiverse individuals, right? And Josh Mirsky is probably going to be the first guy that I bring on to do this, because Josh is super high level and like he'll pick this up quick. You know what I mean? Like this is like easy work for Josh. So instead, when Tommy D comes up to me and goes, "I need Teterboro to Palm Beach," I go, "Hey, Josh, this is my trip. This is my routing. This is my budget. I need you to do the trip sourcing for me." And then he's going to go and he's going to reach out to the operators. So he's going to be able to sit in front of a screen and work on a focused task and handle the line items, get the options, give me a little heavy use operator, may experience delays, low baggage capacities, whatever, right? And really, I want to build the roadmap. I think it's easier for me to say, "Hey, look what I'm doing. You guys can do it," than going to people and say, "Hey, you should do this," right? Yeah. So I think a big thing with that is obviously going to be bringing in some people on a high level that can help build the procedures and processes to make it successful to bring in this community and work in a high stakes kind of fast paced industry, but having them in the back office so it's not as time sensitive. So I mean, I'm really excited for the opportunity to like start a business that's actually going to fulfill my nonprofit's mission, which is create employment opportunities. Right?
Yeah. I did, first of all, like, you know, I could tell you're very spiritual and religious and God is important. Maybe not religious, but God, the whole God-centered thing for you. And like, this came into your purview and you decided that this was where you were going to go and this is what you're going to do. And I don't know if there's such a thing like, say, guaranteed success, man, but I just think you're serving a need in the population, in the community. Yes, for to serve individuals and serve community, but then again, it's a business. So people are now going to have employment and they're going to be, you know, listen, so much of us roll our career, or how do I say this? So much of us roll our personality and who we are and identify by what it is we do. You know, now I think it's best if we identify not just what we do for a profession, but other things, but we don't have that kind of time for me to explain my ideas around that. My point is though, you're now giving people opportunities that they may not have had before. They're going to learn training. You know, you mentioned Josh. Shout out to Josh. Josh, we got to get you on Long Island Changemakers. I know we had to reschedule. We got to fix that. But the thing is, you mentioned, you know, if that's what he wants to do and he learns this thing, and then maybe he elevates to a different part. And he's just an example, but these individuals go, you know what, Anthony, I actually, yes, I'm neurodiverse, but I really want to do this in aviation world or not in the aviation world, but you'll be able to support them into their next move. Right. So it's empowerment, it's access, it's giving people opportunity. And it's serving, if you go back to the business side, it's serving an industry that needs more human beings in the work, that there are all these job opportunities. So listen, I think this is going to turn into one of those things. First of all, we're friends. We're going to hang out. We're going to do this together. I'm going to bring you whatever I can. I think it turns out to, though, well, you keep me posted every so often about what's new, what's going on. And we do shows and we do different things. We go live, whatever, you know, that's a content thing where we could just go. We just go, yeah, Tommy D, I got this thing I need. Cool. Why don't we just jump on a Facebook Live and like tell people what you need, and people will go, oh, I know somebody who can help with that. So that's my whole world. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. And I mean, and at a high level, like the stuff that we're looking for right now for support, Tommy, what makes the most impact for us is I'm a lot like you, man. So I love to connect with other organizations and seeing what they're doing. I love to get in the mix and roll up my sleeves and help other organizations just so I'm a giver, right? I've never even asked you for anything, right? Yeah, you
I think you asked me to come on the show. I think you asked me that. I think that.
Yeah, I did ask you that, right? But everything else, you know, we're just trying to, like, you know, pour into each other, right? And that's kind of how I always end. But if people are interested in reaching out, right, obviously we always need volunteers.
How do they get to you? Yeah, how do they get to you if they want to connect with you and help?
Yeah. The website, everything on the website comes to me. The Aviation Advocate on Instagram, Anthony Ferrara on LinkedIn, all that stuff is the best way to get to me. Always, I'm always on that. But really, you know, volunteer, strategic partners. We're working on different initiatives for like travel sensory bags, or obviously anybody in the education and the vocational training space that, you know, has a passion or feels compelled to maybe get outside their line of thinking, right? That's why I bring up like a Winters, and I'm not saying outside their line, but they're focused on commercial kitchen and cleaning and some of these other things, right? So this is a totally new thing. So anybody that has any connections into that space would be great for us. And a big thing that I want to start working on is sensory rooms. You know, I've been speaking with Grand Rapids, Michigan. They just put a huge sensory room in, and they're trying to build some buzz around it. So they're kind of bringing us in.
What do you mean when you say sensory room? Do you mean at an airport? When you say Grand Rapids, you're referring to the airport.
Yeah.
All right. I want to talk more about that really quick. Not today, because we're going to run out of time.
Yeah.
What I want to ask you really quick is, and I got an answer from Stefan Hespler. So we got to get to that about how many days, but push-ups. So I'll tell you about before we leave. But do you know Chris Ponzio already at Winter Center? Are you talking?
Yeah.
Good. All right. We'll talk about that. We'll all have lunch. All right. We got actually 3,361 days this man has been doing these 22 plus one. April 2nd, 2016, he's been doing these push-ups. So shout out to Stefan Hespel. Shout out to Operation Vest. Shout out to you, my friend Anthony. Love this lid, by the way. I got to get you one of these, man. I had them in all different colors. I'll get you an Operation Vest lid. Gang, go to nycimagineawards.com. Go to aviatorsforautism.org. Hit me up on wherever you find me. You know what I'm saying? But like, email's cool. TommyD@philanthropyandfocus.com. Or I don't really know how to use the messaging feature on Instagram. But I mean, send me something on Instagram, TommyD.NYC. I appreciate you all. Anthony, thanks for what you're doing, man. We're going to do some cool stuff together. I'm happy to be part of what you're doing. I appreciate you, man.
No, man. And Tommy, thank you. I mean, you know, you've just been, I'll just regurgitate a lot of the things I said. You know, you've been like really a godsend. You know, embrace me with open arms, and I'm not trying to pound our chest, but you know, the saying real recognize real, and I'm really humbled and grateful that, you know, you see me for who I am, and you know, you're willing to, you know, just be there. And I mean, that in itself is worth more than to me than any like donations and sponsors and anything, right? Like, I'm a network guy. You see my LinkedIn, I post other people more than I post myself, right? I just like throwing other people out there and like making sure they're getting people see what they're doing. So, man, thank you. Yep, you're amazing.
I appreciate
your reputation far precedes you.
Well, I appreciate it. We got to leave it there. We're out of time. And it's just when it's telling great things about me, we still got to go. This has been another In Focus production. I love you all. See you next week. Later. Bye.
Nonprofits need connections to move in good directions. So cut through all the static. Join Tommy in his attic.
uplift, educate, empower.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.